Today's shiur is Masechta Baba Metzia, Daf Kuf Hey. We will begin on Daf Kuf Dalet on the base, seven lines from the bottom. As we learned earlier in the Masechta, one of the ways a loan could be made, and it should not be considered a situation of ribis, as we discussed, is what a heter iska. And the way a heter iska operates is that, as we learned, there's a managing partner and an investment partner. And the investment partner gives to the managing partner a loan, gives him money. And the way they structure this arrangement is that half the money will be a loan and half the money will be a pikadon that the managing partner could work with this money, invest this money, and make profit on the money. So the part that is an investment, could be used for an investment, and the partner will be able to pay the investing partner, the managing partner will be able to pay the investing partner for that money that he used. The other half is a loan. And that loan, of course, cannot be paid back, only the amount that was lent. Otherwise, it would be an issue of ribis. So the way it's structured is that that it shouldn't be look like ribis, that I'm giving you a halva because you took my pikadon, is that they should not divide the profit 50-50. Rather, the loss should be divided 50-50, but the profit, the managing partner will get a larger share in that profit. And because of that, that's why he took my pikadon, not because I offered him a loan. So says the Gemara, how am nadoi. So nadoi taught us that when we speak about an iska arrangement, hi iska palga malva pal pikadon, 50% of the money is given as a milva, and 50% of the money is given as a pikadon. Over a bottom milsa, and explains the Gemara, why did Chazal structure it this way? Over a bottom milsa, nichle l'loiva v'nichle l'malva. Chazal structured it in a way that it's beneficial both to the malva and loiva. Because if it would be given completely as a halva, nobody is going to want to invest because there's no profit involved. If it's going to be given completely as a pikadon, we're also not interested to take the entire loss. So says the Gemara, hashtag amrina palva milva. Now that we explained that 50% of what's given, whether it's money or merchandise, ibay lameshta bei shikra, if the one who receives it wants to buy beer with it, wine, shapadami, he could do that. Because since 50% of the money is considered a hava, when I lend you something, you could do whatever you want with it. Rava Amar, Rava disagrees. And Rava says, L'hachi karla iska. The reason it's considered called an iska, d'amalei, ki yivnuach, when I gave you this money, the purpose of my giving you this money was lasuki bay, to use it for business opportunities, v'loyla mishtabe shukran, not just to waste it. Amar av idivar avim, v'meis. If this person who now received the money, the managing partner who received it from the investing partner passes away, nasim tatlan etzbanav. So now the children of the loiva, have to pay back. But we know the halacha is that when children whose father passed away have to pay his obligation, we've learned many times, they only pay it from real estate, from karka. They are not obligated to pay it from metatlin. But here, what was given in the iska relationship were metatlin. So how do we avoid that the person who made the investment should not lose that? Says the Gemara. So the Gemara says he loses it if that's what happens, because metatlin are not mortgaged to a loan that the Yisraelim should have to pay. Rava Amma, Rava disagrees. And Rava says, the reason it's called an iska is part of what's understood in the risk relationship is that a mace, if the managing partner were unfortunately to die, it should not be treated like metatlin, that the metatlin of the yisoimim are not obligated, you can't go after them to pay off the loan, but rather because it became a miska, part of the understanding of an iska arrangement is that the money that was loaned will be paid back under all circumstances. Amarava, chada iska, we could have one iska relationship, but it was put into two separate documents. In that case, the malva, the person who gives the money, could end up losing. As we said at the beginning of our shiur, the way the iska is normally structured is that in order to avoid a ribis situation, the owners, the person, the investor, gets a third of the profit and half of the loss. So now if we're going to divide this deal into two separate documents, that there could be a real loss to the investor. Because if there's going to be profit in one shtar and loss in the second shtar, the malva will be end up being the loser. And again, to explain, if the investor gave the manager two stacks of clothing, each one of them was worth a mana, and the profit was 15 dinarim, and in one of them, the loss was 5 dinarim. So if we would combine these two transactions, then we would look at the bottom line, and the bottom line is that there was profit of 10 dinarim, which the investor, who's entitled to, we said, a third, would get 33 and a third dinarim. But if we're going to divide this into two separate transactions, so one, there was a loss of 5 dinarim, which the investor takes a loss of 2.5 dinarim. The other one, he's going to get a profit of a third of 15 dinarim, which is 5 dinarim. So at the end of the day, he's only going to be left with 2.5 dinarim versus 3.33 dinarim. If we have the other way around, where we have trei iskei v'chad shtara, we have two transactions, but we combine it into one shtar, then in such a case, say that the lover is the one who will lose out. Because again, repeating how we explained, if in a case where the loss in one of them was 5 dinarim and the profit in the other one was 15, if they're combined, so the investor will get 3.33, and the other part and the manager will get 6.75. If, however, it was divided into two transactions, so at that point, the investor will only get 2.5 dinarim, and the manager will get 7.5 dinarim. What Rav is coming to teach us is not the best way to do it is that every transaction should be kept separate, because sometimes keeping them together is not good, keeping them separate is not good, so let's just keep each investment separately. Says the Gemara further, Amar Rava, Hai Man the Kabbal Iska Min Chaveri. If somebody is the managing partner, or Pasid, and he lost some of the merchandise that was given for the investment, Tarach Umali Valay Ibdai. And instead of just taking the loss, he worked hard to turn it around. But he did not tell the investor of the loss that happened. What happened was he lost money, and then he, Baruch Shem, turned it around. Lai Matza Amalei, the manager cannot say to the investor, Dora Mehaich Pseida Dahai, you should take part of the loss, because originally there was part of the loss. So you should have to suffer. The fact that I was able to turn it around doesn't mean that you shouldn't have to take that in consideration. Shem Da Amalei, because the investor could say, Yes, you were successful in turning it around, but the reason you did this was only you didn't want people to say that you're not a good place to invest money. So the fact that you turned it around was not because it was not that you should make the profit, but I should still have to take the loss. You wanted to turn this around because you knew otherwise people will never invest money with you. So in order to avoid a problem that people should never invest money with you, that's why you did what you did, and therefore the original loss is not taken into consideration. Vamarava, Hani Betray David Iskibade Adadi. If two people took merchandise from a third person and they took it that they're going to invest it, and then at a certain predetermined time, they're going to divide the profits. Varovach, and they indeed made profit out of this investment. Vamoy Chadl Chavri, so one of them says to the other, Talliflig, let's go and divide this, and let's end this partnership. E Amali Idach, if the other partner says, Nervach Tvei, I'm not ready to end this partnership, Dinu Demakiv, the loch is that he could prevent it from stopping it. Because since at the time when they entered the relationship, they had agreed that they would remain partners until a certain point, no partner could walk away before that time. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. The other Rishonim say, and I'm not exactly sure how to understand those Rishonim, that they can't dissolve the partnership. If no time was identified, you can't dissolve the partnership until they both agree to end the partnership. The Tosfos asks, why did the Gemara have to explain it this way, that you have two partners who are partners together with somebody else's investment? What? So the Tosfos says that if it wasn't that way, we just had two partners who were partners together, there Tosfos suggests that just like we learned in our Masechta many times, that an employee could always walk out, so too can one partner always walk out. Only because this was structured as an iska, that's why this halacha applies. Yomalei, but if one said to the other, Havli pagda rafcha, so good, you don't want to terminate the partnership, but at least give me 50% of the profit. Yomalei, the other partner could say, rafcha l'karna mishtabit, that money has to remain in the business, because that money may be necessary to keep on supporting the business if it takes a downturn. Yomalei, Havli palga rifka palga karna. He says, let's completely divide. So he says, Amalei, iskla dadi mishtabid, we're obligated to each other and we don't terminate until the time that we're supposed to terminate. Amalei, nifkla rifka v'nifkla karna. Let's divide the profit and the principal. V'matalach psida darina badach. And if with the money that you're left with, you're going to invest and you'll suffer a loss, I will cover that. Amalei loy, the mazal de betray adif. Even that he could prevent from happening. He's saying, no, I want you to remain a partner here. And the reason I want you to remain a partner here is because two people's mazal is greater than one person's mazal. And your mazal may be helping that this business should continue to succeed. Hamakabal sodom chaveri. So we've learned in our Masechta many times about chakiris. So if somebody accepts a property as chakiris, that means he has to pay a certain amount as the lease payment. But like Rotzel Nakish, he doesn't want to uproot the weeds from the field. Omaloi Makbisloch, the person who is leasing the property, says to the landlord, why should that be a problem? As we've been discussing in our shiurim, the difference between chakiris and arisis is that by chakiris, I have to pay you a certain amount no matter what. By arisis, I pay you a percentage of what the field produces. So yes, in a case where the amount that we have an arisis relationship,
So there the landlord says, of course I want you to work the property in a certain way, because if you won't work the property in that way, I am going to be the one that's going to suffer the loss, because the percentages will go down and I will be the loser. So that is very well understood why he could say, I don't. You have to work the property, keep it in best shape. But by chakiris, he has to pay him no matter what. And therefore, the lessee, the tenant, says to the landlord, Machmaslach, why does it make a difference to you? I'm going to have to give you what I owe you no matter what. Still ain't shayman loy. We don't listen to what he has to say. Because the landlord could say to him, Lamacher, you're not going to be on this property forever. And now when I'm going to get back the property, it's going to be much poorer quality. And I don't want to get back a property that is of such poor quality. The Tosfos Yontif points out that, of course, our Mishnah is speaking in a case where there is no Minig HaMedina. Because in a case where there's a Minig HaMedina, then the halach is, we always follow the Minig HaMedina. Says the Gemara, I amalei, the basa hacha krivnalei. I'm going to take out the weeds. But I don't want to take out the weeds at earlier state. I want to take it out later. Amalei chite me'ayu sabina. I want that the field should produce excellent wheat. And if you're only going to plow the field after you cut the wheat, so the weeds that are there, as long as the wheat was growing, will downgrade the value of that wheat. But if he says to him, so you're concerned that the wheat that's growing in this property is not going to be quality wheat because the field did not have the weeds removed, so I buy you quality wheat in the marketplace. I want the wheat for my own field. And all the Rishonim explain, this is based on a Gemara that we learned earlier on Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. Adam writes Bekav Shloi Yotz Matisha Kam Shchaveri. People are always more anxious to have their own versus somebody else properly. Vi Amalei Menashloch Shem and Asayich. And if you say, okay, the part that I owe you, I will take out weeds from that field, from that portion of the field, that you should get quality wheat. Amalei, no, he says, I want you to take out the weeds from the entire field. Because if you don't take out the weeds from the entire field, kamnas shem ra laroy, you're going to cause my field to get a bad reputation that it doesn't produce good grain. Vatanan, ask the Gemara that mimnei shemalos lefanei asavim, ask the Gemara, why couldn't he just said that if you don't take out the weed, it's going to cause that it should grow more weeds? Why wasn't that mentioned? El says the Gemara, Elam Shem Damalei, bizarre the Nafal Nafal. The bad weed will spread throughout the field, and since the bad weeds will spread beyond the entire field, that's why I insist that you take it out earlier. Hamakabal Sodom Chaveroi. Somebody accepted a field, the kablonis, that he's going to give a certain work on the field, and a certain percentage of the yield will be given to the landlord. Hamakabel sodem chaveroi loyosso, and it didn't produce as much as that was expected. Im yesh by kedai lahamid kri, and therefore the oris says that this is a field not worth working in, and he doesn't want to continue working on the field. So the halacha is im yesh by kedai lahamid kri. If it produced enough to make a bundle of grain, chayiv l'tapabah, he's obligated to continue working on it. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, my kitzvah b'kri. What does that mean? What is the shear of a kri? And therefore, he says, what is the shear? Yesh b'kadei nefila, that there's enough, that it produces enough seed that you should plant it again and be able to plant the entire field with that amount of seed. Then the oros has to continue working on the field. Tanabana kavos adam chaveroi loyasasa. It didn't produce as what was expected. Im yesh ba kedel hamet kri chayv la tapabah shekach kaisvloi because the oris obligates himself to the landlord. I'm going to plow the field, plant the field, cut the field, gather together the bundles, vadush, and thresh them, vidri, and winnow them, vakim karya kadamach, and like that, give you produce. V'teisa ano, and then after all this is done, v'titel palga, v'teisa, and you will come, v'titel palga, and you'll take 50%, v'noba almi u'menakus yadi, and I, for my work, palga will get half. V'kama, ask the Gemara, how much is, and as we've said in previous shiurim, Tosfos Yontif says that the pshat in the Mishnah here is that even if he didn't speak this out, or even if it wasn't expressed with a Tanai Kofel, which is normally the requirements of any stipulation, here this is self-understood that these are the terms of every Arisis arrangement. The Kamek Kedei L'Ham Bakri. So ask the Gemara, what is the definition if it produced Kedei L'Ham Bakri? If you had like a pitchfork, that when you put the pitchfork into the pile of tvua, it'll stand without falling. That's called Kedei L'Ham Bakri. So ask the Gemara, in understanding this shear, Iboiluhu, what does that mean? Reches hayoytze mehai gisa, that you stuck the pitchfork into this stack of grain, and from both sides, you could see grain sticking out from the pitchfork. Mai, what's going to be the halacha? Is that considered adequate grain? Toshma amra bavua, v'dei mefarshle menei Rabbi Yosef b'chanina, kol she'en koina shaloi, when the white part of the pitchfork, roi p'nei kama, if the entire pitchfork is covered by grain, that's called kedei l'ham bakri. Etmar, the Gemara gives a different way of understanding the shear of a kri. Itmar, levi am shloisha summit, the amount of three soim, the beirabiani amris sosayim. Amr shlokish, besayim shamru, when we speak about sosayim shamru, when we speak about two saw, it has to be chutzman at saw. We deduct the amount that was needed to invest to get to this. That is not included in a two saw. Only after all the investment, then we get to the number of two saw. Says the Gemara, Tanan Hossam, the Mishnah Masechta Uksin speaks about Pritzei Zeisim V'Anovim. The Pritzei Zeisim V'Anovim, which the Gemara is going to explain, B'Shami Metama, B'Shami says the subject to Tumas Oichlin, Beis Hillel Metarim, and Beis Hillel say that they are subject. And the Tres Yisrael explains that what is the basis of the Machloikis of B'Shami Beis Hillel? They do have some nutritional, they are considered somewhat like food. And Beis Shammai said that's enough that they should be subject to Tumas Oichlim. Beis Hillel says they're not significant enough to be considered food that they should be subject to Tumas Oichlim. So ask the Gemara, my Pritzei Zeisim, Om Rav Huna, Rishei Zeisim, the grapes and olives that never fully get ripened. Amr Rav Yosef Makra, where do we see that that arishim, something that never really develops properly, is called that way? Because the pasuk says in the Neil, "Ubnei pritzi amcha yinosu lahamet chazav v'nachshalu," that people are rishayim never achieve the vision. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Mahacha v'hoyel ben paritz shayfech damim, that somebody who has children who act that way, that is considered rishayim that they haven't accomplished. Says the Gemara, the Kama Pritzei Zeisim, what is the shear that it should be considered Pritzei Zeisim? Reb Elazar Omer Abbas Kamim, that when you have oil, when you have olives, when you put them under the wine press, Lakaira, when you put them under the wine press, they only produce 4 kabim of oil. The Bay Reb Yani Amri, the way, according to Reb Yani, we evaluate the shear as Masayim Lakaira, that when we put them under the in the wine press, in the grape press, you only produce a sasayim. V'loi pligi, says the Gemara, and there's really no machloikis. Ha, Rav Elazar says the shear is 4 kabin, but asr the mayor kula belula is in a place where they put the olives into a vat, and in such a place they put a kor into the vat, which is 30 saw. And the halacha is that if they only they only produce 4 kav of oil, then it's considered poor quality olive. For ha, but the other shear, the Rav Yonah said it's 2 sosayim of shamin, is talking about ba'asa d'mayel tilsa kor balula, in a place where they put in 3 kor. And therefore, even if they produce 2 saw of shemen, that's not, which is 3 times the amount of 4 kav, it's still considered that it really didn't produce proper amount of olive oil. Tana Rabbanan. So the Mishnah Masechta Zovim teaches us. Olu, if 2 people, one is a Zov and one is Tor, went up a tree, Ba'ilan Shekai Chira, on top of a tree that's a weak tree, Ubisoikhe Shekai Chira, or on the branches of a tree that are weak, Tamei. Because the Zov sat on this tree and the branches weighed down because of his weight, so that's called Mishkav Hazov, and therefore, and we know that the Mishkav Hazov is Tamei. Hei Chidomi, Ilan Shekai Chira. So ask them, what is the definition of an Ilan Shekai Chira? Amri de Be'er Yanai, Kol She'ein Be'ikroi Lochuk Roi V'akav. That the trunk of the tree doesn't have the width of a roiva kav. Hechi dami soichi shakakara. And what is the definition of a branch that's weak? Omri shlokish kol shenechmes bechazyonai. That if a person grabs hold of the branch and it's not visible, he could put his hand again around the whole branch, that's considered a bad branch. Tanan hosam. Continues the Gemara. The Mishnah Masechta always teaches us. Hamahalach bebeisa pras. A beisa pras is a field where there was a kever and it got plowed up. And there's always a concern that there are leftover bones of a mess. And therefore Chazal said that whoever walks through such a field becomes tamei. So the halacha is, if somebody walks, al gabe avonim, walks on tops of stones, shiochel lahosid, that could be moved, Al Adam, or somebody's riding, Al Adam al Behemish Shekoichin Ra, on top of an animal or person who are weak, Tamei. And even though he obviously did not touch the bone if he's sitting on top of an animal or a person, still, since he's riding on top of people who are weak, it's considered as if he caused that the bone that might be there will move. And therefore, he becomes tamei. If, however, the person is not weak, so then the person on top of him did not contribute to be doing anything, and he won't be tamei. So ask the Gemara again, Hei chidam Adam shekai chara, what is the definition of Adam shekai chara? Amr shlokish kol shirai chvai v'akavaisav nakshosav. When a person rides on him, he's weak, his knees are shaking. Hei chidam behem shekai chara, Amri debay Rabbi Yannick Kosher Roichvay Matila Galolim. When you ride on the animal, because it's weak, it expresses waste. Amri debay Rabbi Yannick. Linyan Tfilo, Linyan Tfilin, Arba Kabin. When we speak about Tfilo or Tfilin, the shear is Arba Kabin. Ask the Gemara, Latfilo Mahi, what does that mean? The Tanya Noisa Masa Ksoifay. If somebody's carrying a load on his shoulders, Vigi is Mat Tfilin, the time to daven comes. Pachis Mi Arba Kabin. If the what he's carrying weighs less than Arba Kabin, Mafshilon, Lachayrev, he just puts it towards his back, or Mespalani Kedavin. Arba Kabin, but if it weighs Arba Kabin, so it's very heavy, so just putting it towards your back is inadequate, and therefore the halacha will be Meniach Agabe Karka, you have to take the tefillin off, put him down, or Mespal. The tefillin Mayhi, what does it mean regarding tefillin? The Tanya, how you know it's the Masa al Roshoi, if somebody's carrying something on his head, the tefillin b'roshoi, and he's also wearing tefillin, I'm how your tefillin roitzitzis. If the tefillin are getting crushed, osur, he can't carry such a load. V'mlav mutter, beze masi amru, what kind of load are we speaking about? Says the Gemara, v'masa shel arba kabin, a shear of a load of 4 kabin. So the Gemara is Continues the Gemara, Tani Rav Chiya, Hamaitzi Zevel HaRoshay, if somebody's carrying waste out, Tefillin HaRoshay is carrying waste out, and he's also wearing Tefillin, Hareza Lo Yisalkim Utsdadim, he shouldn't just push the Tefillin to the side, Lo Yikshrim B'masnav, or wrap the Tefillin around his body, Mnei Shom Noig Minig B'zayin. That's considered very disrespectful to the Tefillin. Avakosher as royoy b'makom Tefillin. You put him on your hand, not where you normally wear Tefillin. However, says the Gemara, Mishum the Beishila Amri, Afila Matl Shilhem, not only the Tefillin, but even the wrapper in which the Tefillin is put into, also Lanich Aroish, you can't put it on your head, Shesh Be Tefillin, when you're wearing Tefillin. It's considered disrespectful to the Tefillin. The Kama, what is that amount? Omar Abaya, what is the amount that you're not allowed to carry according to Beis Shela when you have Tefillin on your head? Omar Abaya, I feel a river, the river, the Pembedisa, a very small amount. So Beis Shela is teaching us that one shouldn't even have a Tefillin wrapper, a bag, anything on his head while he's wearing Tefillin. Because it's disrespectful to carry even the smallest load on one's head while wearing Tefillin. And this is the way the Rambam paskins, that one should not carry anything on his head while wearing Tefillin. The Rif, however, quotes the opinion of the Bei Rabbi Yanai that says that you can't carry 4 kabin of Tefillin, but he also brings down the opinion of the Bei Shela. So asked Rabbeinu Yoina, how do we understand the Rif? He's quoting 2 different opinions that disagree with each other. So the Beis Yosef explains, the Bei Rabbi Yanai is speaking to a case that what you carried, not on the Tefillin, just next to the Tefillin. Whereas the Bei Shiloh is referring to something that's put on top of the Tefillin. Putting anything on the top of the Tefillin is disrespectful. Putting something alongside the Tefillin is not that disrespectful, and there's a shear of 4 kabin. Another point that the Beis Yosef makes is that the Bei Rabbi Yanai is referring to one was carrying a package before he put on the Tefillin. There, if it's less than 4 kabin, Bei Rabbi Yanai says you could continue wearing, you could continue carrying that package. The Beis Shiloh is talking about a case where you were already wearing Tefillin, and now you want to put something on that you can't put anything on. Bakimosha has a different way. The Bakimosha says the Rebbe Rabbi Yanai is speaking about something that belongs on the head. Something that belongs on the head, we're lenient as long as it's less than 4 kabin. The Beshiloi is speaking about something that is not normally put on the head. Something that's not normally put on the head, then the halacha is even the smallest amount should not be put on where you're wearing tefillin. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, my kitzur b'kri, El Miyesh, Rabbi Yehuda says, how can we properly make a determination of what is kitzur b'kri? In order to avoid that problem, he says, the shir is k'day nefila. Ask the Gemara, the kama k'day nefila, exactly how much is k'day nefila. Rabbi Yochan, Abbasan, that's when you planted 4 saw of seed, lekor, for every amount of space that takes up that you could get a kor of grain. Vami delay amar shmoinasan. If you have to plant 8 saw of seed, lekor. Amalei husavu racham breid rava baravua. Asmalach b'shnei Rabbi Yochanan, that there's really no machloikus. In the time of Rabbi Yochanan, have a shmene ara. The quality of the ground was much better. And all you needed was 4 saw of seed to make a kor of grain come. B'shnei Rav Ami, have in the time of Ami, have a kish ara. The earth was much weaker. And since the earth was much weaker, you needed 8 saw to produce that much grain. Tanan hosam. The Mishnah, Masechta Peah, teaches us, Haruach Shepizur Sa'amim, if the wind spread the stacks of grain on top of the leket, which we know that the leket belongs to the niyim. And we don't know now how much leket there was. On the Messiah, kama leket ruyal asos, how much leket does this field normally produce? And that's the match you have to give nisin l'niyim. Shim Gamliel Omer, nisin l'niyim, how much do you give to the niyim? Kedei nefila. Again, ask the Gemara, kama kedei nefila? Kiyasa Rav Dimi Amar Rav Lazvi Tem Rav Yochanan Ab Kabin Lekar, four kabin of grain of seed, four kabin of tefillah of each car. By Rav Yirmiya, this shear that we just mentioned, Lekar Zera, is talking about a field that produced a car. Oy Lekar Shatfua is a field that produced four car of seed or four car of grain. Another question. The palus yad, is it referring to a field that you put seed by hand, and therefore you don't need that much seed? Or le mapalus shvarim, when you seed the ground by having animals walk and drop the seed, you need more. Toshma, dechas raven amr bevua amr belaza, formerly amr bevyachin abakarin lekar zera. We're speaking about abakarin for kar of seed. And Vadayin Tabayloch, but we're not sure, Lampayl Shiad, Lampayl Shvarim, that remains with a taiku.